Okay, all right. And what was your buddy's name?
Pete Bays.
Pete Bays, okay.
But in when we was issued our overshoes,
mm-hmm.
there was 100 of us, and he got a only pair of five buckle overshoes that was in that bunch. There was only one pair,
mm-hmm.
and they was his, they fit him. And when I drove into the battery area, I just had to drive in with something. I had to do. And when I drove in, I noticed that overshoe there with his leg in it. It just makes me cry.
Well, of course, yeah. And that's how you discovered that he had been killed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do this every time.
Well, I mean, it's a death of someone that meant a great deal to
you.
Yeah,
well, he was the head of the instrument survey in my battery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then I never worked with him I had a job.
Mm-hmm.
But he always took my Sub Thompson. He had flying one of them little planes,
mm-hmm.
and up and down in the front line.
Okay.
And if he ever got shot, well, he'd have a little firepower to get back maybe over where he belonged, mm-hmm. or if he got over too far.
Yeah. Okay.
But. And the other kid, we all three stayed together usually.
Mm-hmm.
All had our wives when we was in full wee.
Mm-hmm. All right, but now the Silver Star is for another time.
No, that's this time.
Okay.
And I think. I know it is.
Well, it said, found an area under heavy shelling and discovered an injured man that you brought to the aid station.
Well, and then I couldn't bring him. They had to get him with the bucket,
okay.
and a shovel.
All right, okay. And then...
And the 320 mortar got two or three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the only reason I could find, I knew Bays was there, was with the five buckle overshoe.
Mm-hmm. And then it said, of course, that a shell...
Yeah, well, we knocked us both goofy for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then you got up and put out the fire.
Yeah.
Okay, are at a time like that, you're probably just not thinking, you're just doing what you have to do?
Oh yeah, you knew what you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They shot up a whole lot in the battery, you know. Them 320 mortars are a pretty big, they have a big concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And they was zeroed in on the battery when that all happened just before I got down there.
Mm-hmm.
So then me and another little Mexican was the only one left on that gun. Him and I went out there and shot for quite a while with it. I don't know if we ever hit anything or not, but we was taking orders from the boy up who was down there.
Yeah. Well, you did what you had to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had been trained on that kind of a gun, so you knew what...
Well, yeah. I got that basic training,
right.
See?
Mm-hmm.
That's what them basic trainings... Well, God, they got to have basic training.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do the same thing every time.
Right.
I've got a thing that says that I would go up and if somebody got killed, I could fire and just watch them, knew how much up I had to go and right and left. I've even done that on the line, and that's the way Bays started too, when they took him up there, and he done so good that they just made him a second lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then you just kept moving up.
Yeah, then we have to see, that was pretty well in the end of the war too. We just come on down the Elbe River and was at, I think we was pretty close to Elbe River at that time.
Yeah, it was February 1945, February 24th.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When was it over?
February 45. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so from then on you probably were just...
Yeah, we got there before the Russians did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would swim across the river and want us to take them. And then we, after the war was over, well, we went back, and then they put me in, I think, 448 ACAC was with us. They put the high point men in that, and the low point men out of it into the, traded them into, and they were all going to have to go to Tokyo, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and where did you go back to?
They let me out just as soon as I come on home.
Okay, because
I beat the battery home, or I mean the mm-hmm. the battery, the division home.
Okay, because you had so many points.
Yeah, that I got out.
Yeah, okay. And the rest of them, the ones that had the low points, they thought sure that they would go to the Pacific.
Yeah, they would have if they hadn't have dropped that bomb. Mm-hmm. You know.
Were you out of the Army by the time they dropped the bomb?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was out of the Army. I don't know when I got my discharge. But I was out of... I come home to be and away from the battery. Mm-hmm. They put me in a 440 ACAC, and then we went to, I don't know, some hospital unit, and then they worked us right on home.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where you were and how you heard that the war in Europe was over? Is that when you were outside of Berlin?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. We were the closest division to Berlin,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. And a commanding officer or someone told you about the war ending, or?
No, I think we all pretty well knew it was coming. I mean, you know, we'd been down there. We'd drive down to where the infantry was, where they was catching them all the time and helping them out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because they was getting a lot of them.
Yeah.
They didn't want them Russians to get a hold of them.
I know. I know. And those were it was the Germans that would swim across the Rhine and
yeah,
ask you.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, they come.
Yeah. Now, as you went toward Berlin, did you encounter any of the concentration camps at all?
Well, no, I don't think we, well, we did in one, where was that? They were all Polacks.
Mm-hmm.
They had them in a camp, and then they set it afire and then shot them as they was all going out. So we made them bury all them people,
mm-hmm.
and in that one when we got there, they had to bury them.
Okay.
So we had made them bury them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll deal with you getting out of the Army and things like that, but I need to back up and ask some of these questions. When you were embarking, going abroad, this was the first time, of course, you had left the United States and you were sailing out into the ocean. What did you think?
Well, we had a job.
Mm-hmm.
We had on this ship, the 219th had to put out the guard.
Mm-hmm.
See, we had to have guards. There could be no lights on no ships, and we had to kind of patrol out all ourselves.
Yeah.
And I, George Leitner over here one time, I went down the bottom of that ship to put a fellow down there. They had to watch some money or something in them. They had a little three-cornered deal. And then there's a lot of boys from Pierceville was in there.
Hmm.
Three of them that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And we was out there in the ocean, you know. And George Leitner was one of them. But he got hit just as soon as we got over there in the shrapnel and got in his lungs or something. And they sent him home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think, looking back, that the training you received before you went over was adequate?
I do. I think yes, we had to get something and get it done and get with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you think back, and you've already talked about some of the memories, first of all, were you able to receive letters from your wife
your
family?
Yeah.
And were you able to write home to them?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. These little bitty cards.
The victory letters?
Yeah, victory letters. Yeah,
okay. And would your wife have sent you anything maybe that you couldn't get over there, like candy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And folks would do that too. The folks said the worst thing that they ever really scared them,
mm-hmm.
was two guys from the military drove out south of Charleston to where they were staying and living, and drove in, got out of the car, and come up to the door and knocked on the door. Well, you know, Mom and Belma were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally they got them and told them, they was telling them that I'd won the Silver Star.
Oh.
And that, you know, why in the world would they call out and tell you you won a Silver Star when they know that one minute your folks see them, what they're coming for?
Yeah.
To tell you.
They thought that you had been killed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure was.
What did you think about, what I'll call the daily life, the experience? You know, the work that you had to do, the food, the clothing, the equipment. Are there any memories or stories you have about things like that?
Well, here's you can tell I traveled a lot.
Okay.
In my Jeep.
Uh-huh.
This is a tanker's outfit that I come to a town in the Bulge.
Okay.
And they were all killed.
Mm-hmm.
And this suit was laying on the table, and the colonel was down there, and one colonel, and he had his finger cut off. They'd cut it to get it some kind of a ring, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our boys, I think, may have done that.
Yeah.
But I got that, and I wore that all through the Bulge,
mm-hmm.
and I was warm.
Mm-hmm.
Now look, that's what they had for the rest of them.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I wasn't dressed right, I don't guess, but I.
But you were warm.
I was warm.
And you were surviving.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you had your helmet on here.
Yeah, I took it off there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the food?
I never griped about no food no time. I could eat anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
There were other things.
Oh, if anybody griped about food, he didn't have much to gripe about. That's mm-hmm. for sure. I always thought.
Yeah.
I didn't pay much attention to it.
Is there, you've already described, you know, your best buddy, but is there an officer that you remember that you have a particular story about?
Well, I always thought our Captain Porter was our battery commander overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Major Brown, Captain Brown was in the States. But this Captain Porter, he never did get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, the rest of them, did.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that he was just a little bit. I'm glad we got him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think surprised you most about being over there?
Never getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
Never got hit nowhere. People around me'd get shot and
mm-hmm.
shrapnel. The only time I got knocked down, but that's the closest I ever come to. I never got a. You know, you get a. I know some guys that just got their finger cut with a can opener that got the Purple Heart,
uh-huh.
but that's one pretty medal, but it's a medal that I think should be highly looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy will give it half of his, give an arm or a leg or something for, and that's all they give him is a Silver Star, and I know some that. Just blood, that's all you have to do is show that old boy blood and he'd give you a Purple Heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But how would you describe the morale of, you know, the young men and you as you were marching in and seeing all these horrible things?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. We've had guys, they took, you know, that griped before. Said, well, I don't believe this damned outfit's ever going overseas. And when we got over there, why, they sent him back, and he was, the first night they had him out on guard, and he took up and run down the road and went kind of berserk, and And they sent him back, and he was a shoe salesman while we was over there fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all found that out afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you think you managed to make it through the war? I mean, you said you weren't shot. Did you learn certain things about?
Well, I never took no real chances. If we did have to, well, I wanted to do it quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was put in for the Distinguished Service Cross,
mm-hmm,
on the first day of battle. But then everybody got killed, and nobody, nothing ever happened. I never did. A lieutenant told me that I was put in for it, because
mm-hmm,
I took Colonel Lang, and it's in this here paper, or in this what John got. That somebody took Colonel Lang. He was shot in the jaw and the leg, and that was me that took him.
Okay.
But then I never did go after it.
Mm-hmm.
Because our colonel was killed, and the other colonel coming in, he had enough to think about besides, things that had happened before he got there.
Mm-hmm. When people were killed, then they were rapidly replaced by...
Yeah, they'd give it. That's about the only way you could get a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I was a corporal and all through the whole thing. That's what it took for that agent. But my God, it. If I'd have got killed, well, then somebody would have moved up to a corporal. But that's as high as he would have got.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with it being a corporal, but. But I was, I was my own boss. I never had to. The only thing that I had to put in there had to, that if I'd have got, if I'd have, anything had happened, it had been a smoking a cigar. I like cigars, and Dad sent me cigars from Garden City, and he even had a fellow there send me whenever I thought I was out. And we got a routine that I'd get a box, I don't know, just every little whipstick, but. Anyway, him and Captain Brown one day, I come in the battery area and I was smoking. You ain't supposed to do that when you drive a Jeep. And so Colonel Schaefer stopped me and said, "I guess you know that you're smoking." He said, if I catch you again," I said, "I'm just going to have to bust you." And damned if about 2 hours after that, him and Brown was still walking, and here I come back in, and I smoking again. And I just drove right on by them, and they never said a damn word. But I know what Brown was telling him. I don't know who you're going to get to replace him. He's to go up to that infantry every night and
mm-hmm,
by himself and come back.
Mm-hmm.
So
you didn't smoke cigarettes?
No, I've smoked cigarettes, but... And then I wound up on cigars.
Mm-hmm.
But I chewed tobacco too. I had school. I used to chew that.
Mm-hmm. Now, your wife and Karen are back here. Did she live with her parents?
My parents.
Okay.
She lived with my parents and Karen was always... They'd always talk about her dad, She believed she wasn't damn sure she had a dad.
Now, this may be an odd question. Were there good times that you remember or funny things that happened?
Oh, yeah. It's just like a bunch of men are working,
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I never was around the guns or anything like that. I was in that Jeep all the time going,
mm-hmm,
taking something to somebody or a message to somebody, and or the colonel would have him go with me, and then I'd have to go back sometimes, but not very often.
So you interacted more with officers than you did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to work with them a lot.
Mm-hmm. 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 How do you think the experience changed you, or when you think about it, or
oh, I don't know. The only time I get real bad is over that guy.
And when
and his sister was a Park, she married a Park from
Montezuma.
From Montezuma.
Okay.
It was her, and you know, I would like to talk to her.
Do you think she's still alive?
I don't know. See, he had a wife and a little girl his wife had when he married her. And she just took care of Karen Sue all the time and the baby. She was just wanted Karen Sue so bad. This guy here.
The middle one.
One time I was on CQ, and he had a 3-day pass, and so I thought I'd bring the mail home, you know. I never thought he'd get a letter from anybody. But boy, I brought the mail home and I threw it in there, you know, and never thinking. Boy, in a little bit, some of the damnedest going on, boy, they was real going right after one another. He had a letter in there from some girl somewhere, I guess. But they did. I saw him afterwards in the park in Kansas City. He walked right by me, and I never did see his face, but I saw his hair, and I knew who he was. So I went down and talked to him, and he did have a different wife than what he had when he was in the Army.
Did you keep up with anyone else after you got out?
Oh, yeah. Buzz Wilson from Emporia, I kept up with him. He was the wire sergeant. And he'd be out when I was out there 2:30 in the morning going to the infantry trying to find the damn infantry. He'd be out there trying to run a line to him, you know. We'd run into him in the night, and then we'd visit, you know, a little while.
When you were out there at night, were you scared?
Oh, I don't know. I you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else got scared before they ever left. That night scared some of them, but it didn't. I don't know. I just got used to it, that's all.
When you knew that you had enough points and that you were going to come home and be discharged, did you know what you were going to do when you...
Oh, yeah. See, Harold stayed home, and I got to come home. Old Brown, and I should have named him, I guess. He'd give me 2 passes to come home and cut wheat before we went overseas. 15-day furloughs to go to cut my wheat to go overseas.
Right. And so you knew when you were coming back that you were going to move back into farming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew just what I was going to do.
And what was life like when you got back? I know that during the war, you know, there were products that people couldn't get. There was rationing. Was that still the same way when you got home?
Well, you know, we went through a little of that when we was in the Army. When Velma and Karen was with me until I went overseas, we had to get them K rations and stuff. The only thing I got was tires. When I blew out 4 tires from Alabama or from California to Alabama, but I had all new ones when I got to Alabama, so she made it home all right. And the girls, when we all left, when we all knew we was leaving the next day, they all come down and drove through and seen us, and they all went home.
Yeah. And did your wife remain friends with some of those?
Well, like Pete Bays is there now, we lost track of them. But Wilson's, we went to both of their funerals there when they died. And I bought a couple of tractors from Buzz, Inchledge wagon.
Is there any other specific memory or maybe anecdote or story that you think would be important, you know, in the future when people are reading through these?
Oh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's, some people get a little interested in it, and I get a little interested in it, and I thought last night when I was reading your book, I was thinking, my God, I wonder if that's the Joyce that I'm meeting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you had, of course, lived through the Depression in the early 30s
before.
And then you came back, and it was still sort of wartime conditions.
Well, yeah, and I was reading in your book there, what the first war is, 1812,
mm-hmm.
And
had your dad served in the military?
No.
No.
Harold and I was both, well, I was born in 17. Harold was 9 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And but he wanted to, he hadn't married, you know. Then he got married afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever went with him was going to take care of we was going to farm together on it.
Right. Yeah. Okay, let me look at these questions to see that we've covered. And you'll be thinking if there's anything you think that I haven't asked you.
If you can find that Parks,
okay,
lady, help me.
Do you know a first name?
No.
But you said her husband worked in the...
I'm in a drugstore in Montezuma.
Okay.
Because when we come from California through, he went to Sublette and I come to Garden City.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met over by Hutchison. I think we had 7 to 8 days, I don't know, traveling time.
And, mm-hmm.
And then we met south of Hutchison over there towards Wichita, and then we followed one another all the way to Alabama.
And his last name was Pace.
Bayes.
B-A?
B-O-U-S-E. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think.
And what was his first name?
Pete. Pete Bayes.
Okay. I'll see if I can find anything out about that.
I'd like to even talk to his wife or something. It's,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's...
Okay. And where was he from, Gray County originally?
No, he's from Hutchison.
Okay, from Hutchison.
Yeah.
Okay.
All them guys was from Hutchison.
Mm-hmm. Well, you served with a lot of people from Kansas then.
Oh, about everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, and when we got some guys in from North Carolina and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it was a Kansas. The 35th Division was a Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri and Oklahoma boys, mm-hmm. usually. That was made up, that was in First World War II.
Okay.
So they was in, it's been in two world wars,
mm-hmm.
the 35th has.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now when you were discharged and got out of the service, was there ever any thought that you might not get, that you wanted to stay in or go
no,
into reserves?
No, no, I didn't have any of them.
Okay. Well, I didn't think so, but I thought I should ask that.
Why, sure.
As you were over there and you were moving in and, you know, fighting the Germans, and maybe seeing what they had done, what did you think of the enemy?
Well, we tore them up more than they tore us up.
Mm-hmm.
Our Air Corps really done a job on them, I'll tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
I went through town, you could smell dead bodies that just make you pretty near have to put a hanky around your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
Well, I know you said that you give a lot of credit to the planes and the Air Force, and it's hard to be objective, but when you step back and you see how everything worked to eventually win the war, it's sort of amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It sure is.
The planning and everything that went into it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else that you think might be important?
Nope. I don't know.
Well, people in the future, you know, might be reading this because, you know, the history of World War II, young people now don't know anything about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, well then I'm going to turn this off.
Okay.
Okay, and so Paul Rickson was, he was doing the, basically the same thing that you were doing, moving through.